You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
All right. Season 3, Episode 2 of the Front Row Hoopcast. We are back after a long break. The Dogs were in Oregon for the PK80. I'm your host, Ari Castle. Brendan King is back, and we are joined. The prodigal son has returned. Marco Tomich, how are you doing, sir?
Absolutely great. I'm pleasant to drop by and give you my acquaintance.
It's the second coming.
It is the second coming. Before we get started, Brendan King, congratulations. I believe you have an announcement for us.
Thank you, Mr. Castle. I am proud to say that I will be moving up a level in baseball and be the number 2 voice of the South Bend Cubs for 2018.
And as I recall, Brendan King, your favorite baseball team is...
the Chicago Cubs, baby!
Boy. Oh. So in 10 years when you are broadcasting the Cubs games, you're going to hook a brother out with some C's, right?
Hey, I'll see what I can do. Hopefully they're still winning World Series by then.
We're starting off the show on a good note. Let's see if we can continue. The Butler Bulldogs, as we said, were in Oregon for the PK80. They went 2-1, lost to Texas, beat Portland State. But the real game that everyone wanted to pay attention to was against Ohio State, their head coach. You may have heard of him. He used to coach at Butler. His name is Chris Holtmann. They were down at 15 one-point, Brendan King. At that point, the Butler Twitterverse was exploding. People wanted to fire LaValle Jordan. We ended up coming back.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I think ESPN, we checked it with like 2.5 minutes left. ESPN gave Ohio State a 99.1% chance of winning that ball game. And, you know, that was, I think, more lucky than anything in terms of making those shots that they did, that big three by Keelan at the top of the key, and then Kamar's corner coming around the screen inbound play. That was a great inbound play. I don't think LaValle
okay. All right, let's get into this. Brendan was just talking about these great plays. My whole concern with Butler thus far in the season is that our offense has looked anemic. I have really not been impressed with it at all. The team is shooting 44% from the field, 28.8% from three.
The team against Texas just looked like they couldn't get anything going together. They barely could figure out who to pass the ball to. The amount of times they got blocked, I think they got blocked a lot more times than they even thought about pump faking, honestly.
It's probably true. Let's just real quick, this Butler offense is basically, to me, it looks like a dribble drive offense. So what that means is that Keelan and Kamar will have the ball at the top of the key, a screen will get set for them, and then their options are either A, go to the basket and get a layup, or B, go to the basket, hope something breaks down, someone helps off their man, they can dump it off to them. Now, this is a good offense if you're trying to highlight an individual player. An NBA scout's going to love it because Keelan and Kamar are getting a lot of action. But for a team like Butler, who has predicated themselves on being a team-oriented kind of team, this is out of the ordinary, and it's not looked good so far. We're going isolation all the time.
And it doesn't help in the tournament. You shot about 25% from three. I mean, that... you don't have the option to kick out to whomever is there because it's not good. They shot 19% from three against Ohio State.
It's supposed to be dribble drive. I mean, there's no one even really passing or moving the ball. We got to get some sort of motion going, even if that's going to be the type of offense we're trying to run. The players got to buy into it and move. They're standing there like statues all over the court.
I agree with Marco. It's a lot of one-on-one action. And if you're a team like Kentucky, who's got numerous five-star NBA one-and-done players, you can roll the ball out there and say, yo, we're going to beat you one-on-one straight up. Butler has never been able to do that. Marco, how many times throughout the years have we seen Butler beat a top 5, top 10 team with team basketball?
I mean, countless number of times. It's the reason we stay in prominence in college basketball. We've never been that type of program to recruit the one and dones. We've always been the type of program that get the guys that buy in, that do the hustle plays, that get the hard work, that dive on the floor to make the defensive stops. It's just what Butler is, and it doesn't seem like we're rolling that much this year.
It doesn't help in the fact that we'll talk about this later, you lose McDermott for 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's an option on the shooting end that you lose. We'll also talk about who's going to step up, but that's going to be huge because he was 40-50% of your offense.
That's not even exaggeration. It is. He was averaging 9 points on the year, 4 rebounds, shooting like 43% from three, which is really good. Kind of going back to this offense, well, I think the players are going to pick it up at some point. The one thing that I am immediately concerned about is our complete lack of like play calling in general. I used to be a basketball coach for 3 years in high school basketball in Indiana, and what I was taught is that you need to have like 5 or 6 quick hitter plays during a game where you absolutely need a bucket. This can be either when the other team has gone on a run and you need to change the momentum, or if it's the end of the half and you need to get a basket. Chris Holtmann was really good at this. Brad Stevens. We have seen nothing from LaValle. It's kind of just go one-on-one and hope somebody beats you. Look at the play to send the game to overtime. Kamar Baldwin, the play we draw up is a step-back three. That's the kind of play you have when there's 2 or 3 seconds left on the shot clock and you got to throw something up to not get a turnover. But we're going to that look in the first 15 seconds of the possession. That's horrible to me.
And with teams like Utah and Purdue coming up, that's not going
to
work.
Yes, you're not going to be able to go one-on-one against these Big East caliber teams and teams like Utah and St. Louis.
Sometimes I just don't think we necessarily have the depth to execute on some of those things late in a game. I almost would prefer the ball to 100% be in Kamar Keelan's hands. I mean, it was kind of a tough possession. We had been moving and grooving with defensive stops, but for the most part, as far as you said, our front court offense, we haven't been able to do anything and get stuff going. I thought Kamar handled the ISO decently well. He read the defense. The defense dropped off, and he was able to pull up. It was a slightly difficult shot that we wouldn't necessarily always like, but I also think big-time players make big-time plays in big-time situations.
It's still a bad shot. Like, I completely disagree with you. The goal is to get the best look possible. That absolutely was not the best look possible. You mentioned Kamar Baldwin. He's shooting like 31% from three on the year. He was shooting like 39% last year. Keelan's shooting. He's shooting 14.8% from three in the tournament. 4 of 27. Like, if this is the offense you're going to go one-on-one, you have to make shots, and they're not. This offense is looking anemic. The defense looks fine, but I'm struggling to see how going one-on-one with Keelan and Kamar when they're shooting this poorly is going to win us games.
Do you think Keelan's feeling that pressure? Last year, you had Keithan and Avery as weapons, mm-hmm. and now Keelan's the guy. Does he feel that pressure?
I think you kind of have to. He's almost been relegated to this jump shooter kind of, where he used to be the 6'6 bull heading to the rim, and now he's taking like three-pointers from 6 feet behind the line. I feel like he's trying just to do too much. Maybe that's part of this one-on-one offense that, you know, maybe he's kind of trying to force the issue there.
He did look like his old self, though, on that last bucket that won the game. I mean, that was classic Keelan Martin.
Keelan Martin driving to the basket. You're right.
Made me want to just bust down and go, ooh, Keelan, when he finished that at the rim right there.
That's another one right there. All right, boys. We covered that. Brendan alluded to this earlier. We just found out today, Sean McDermott, in my opinion, the most underrated player on the team, heart and soul of the team.
Glad you weren't here last time.
I would have went off.
So he is out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. We did not look very sharp without him. Tomich, someone's got to step up in that starting lineup. Someone's got to take those minutes. Who's it going to be?
I mean, it looks like usually we're turning to Paul Jorgensen, but I just have not liked the way he's been meshing with the team necessarily. I did like the movement for him to come back into that second rotation to try and be the spark plug right off the bench. But some people call him the microwave. He's more like a light switch where he's just on and off sometimes.
No. He's the McDonald's ice cream machine.
Shut up, fake Brad.
Because he's always broke. And that was a hilarious tweet. Whoever fake Brad is, that guy is hilarious.
Shut up.
Brendan, when we were talking about Sean McDermott, you texted me. You're like, ooh, I've got a name for you.
Yeah, I think it's got to be by committee, but a guy that I really want to see grow is Henry Badley.
Huh, all right.
I really want to see him grow, and we know what the jump shot is. He doesn't have a jump shot, and it doesn't look pretty. It didn't look pretty last year. It doesn't look pretty even after work this summer. But if he is the slasher that people say he is, he's got to get to the bucket. That's his job.
I'll tell you that putback dunk, that looked pretty. He basically dunked all over Brunk on that slash. They do play a lot of different type of ball set with McDermott being a little bit more of a kicker and Badley trying to take it to the rim. But again, like Brendan said, I think it's going to be more of a committee kind of effort.
My issue with Badley is that you already have Aaron Thompson, who has no jump shot. You're having Weidman, who has no shot from outside. You're bringing in Badley with no shot from outside. You need to have some outside shooting so that Keelan and Kamar can kick it out if the defense gets sucked in. To me, it's got to be Christian David. I know he's looked really, really lost at times, but I think that's because the coaching staff is kind of playing him as a big. He was recruited as a wing player. Mm-hmm. Stick him out on the wing. See if he can hit a corner three. If he can't, that's fine. Bring in Nate Fowler, maybe. Maybe bring in Paul Jorgensen to sit there and hit a three as well. But I just don't want to bring in Badley to start. That much lack of shooting scares me.
I didn't necessarily say he would start. He's got to be better.
Okay. I understand that.
Pick up the minutes here and there, I guess.
All right. So now we talked about that. The defense has looked good. Guys, back to this Ohio State-Butler matchup. Now, the internet, mainly Twitter and all the chuckleheads, were completely trashing Chris Holtmann, saying this was just... I saw after they win, they were saying, like, suck it, Holtmann, like, you suck. I just am not a fan of that. I'm a big Chris Holtmann fan. I don't think he did Butler dirty. I really don't.
I don't think he did us dirty. It was kind of a push come to shove situation. Would I really appreciate him not to put out that tweet before leaving
yes,
us?
Yes, obviously that was a bad idea.
Obviously that was a bad idea. But for the rest of it, I mean, you just got to understand where the man's coming from. He's looking out for what he's trying to go forward in his future and his family. And he went to a big time program. You can't knock a guy for that.
I'm all for a good rivalry. I love the, you know, beat Holtman mentality. I mean, some people said that was their Super Bowl, which is not true, but yeah, that tweet shouldn't have happened. Could he have been a little bit more, not honest about it, but just done it in a better way? Probably. But also, it's all Greg McDermott's fault because he didn't take the job in the first place.
That's right.
Although that win against Holtman was definitely a season changer, in my opinion.
No doubt about it.
Just because of the morale of the team needed to be changed. I mean, you lose a game of by 15 to your former coach in a big tournament, and you're coming off a 1-2 record. That's not looking good. But coming back from 15 points down, believing in yourself, that to me, that was a big win. Although it was against for fifth place, it seemed like it was a lot more than fifth place. What do you think, Ari?
I agree with you completely on that. I think it would have been devastating. When we were down by 15, I was already tweeting out how angry I was. I could see people just kind of losing their minds on Twitter. But kind of back to Holtman here. What I see from people online is that, oh my gosh, Chris Holtman, he was getting paid $2 million at Butler and he left for Ohio State for $3 million. Shut the hell up. He was not getting paid $2 million at Butler. Okay, he was probably getting like 1.2 to 1.3. Again, it's not like it was not a money decision either. He turned down jobs from NC State. He turned down jobs from Tennessee and Georgia Tech. Yep. How many times do you expect the guy to say, you know what? I love the Butler way, but you know, I'm not about money or advancing my career. It's not a detriment to him or his family or his character that he left for a top 10 job in the country. I don't hold anything against him.
How soon will Ohio State be relevant?
In the next 2 years.
Quick.
He is such a good coach. You forget, Brandon Miller went 14-17.
Yeah.
We lost pieces from that team. Holtman came around and won 25 games the next year.
It's a way different animal in the Big Ten.
I have that much faith in him as a coach. I think that Butler is going to rue the day that they did not pony up and pay this man.
I mean, obviously, but
I'm not so sold out on his future. I mean, that's kind of a quick turnaround for a program that realistically hasn't done that much in Big Ten basketball recently.
All right, come back to me in 2 years, and we'll see who wins this bet.
We'll see what you're doing in 2 years.
probably still living the dream, baby. All right, heading up, we don't play again until next week against St. Louis. What needs to change for Butler in order to get this season kind of going? We're coming off a big win, but we've mentioned the offense isn't looking good. The play calling is not there. We also have, I didn't even mention this, our baseline out of bounce plays are non-existent. We're just kind of throwing it to the top of the key to Keelan. What needs to change in this mentality for Butler to really pick it up a notch?
We really need to pick up our depth. Someone from the bench has to make a big time movement up. With Sean McDermott going down, I realistically feel like our role players are almost letting us down in a sense. They are doing the little things here and there, but they're just not doing enough. The difference in the supporting cast from last year to this year is significant.
Agreed.
Significant.
I know what they're doing in practice this week, first of all.
What's
free
that?
Throw line.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It is atrocious.
Hey, who's at the front of that free throw line? Who needs to work on it the most?
Aaron Thompson.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
I mean, we were talking about this outside. You come in as a high-profile recruit. You're telling me that in your AAU years, in your high school years, you never thought that you need a free throw shot in college.
It's unfathomable to me. Like, me, I am not a good basketball player at all. I would go to the HRC at Butler and just kind of shoot around. And just by me BSing around and throwing up shots, my jump shot got better. As a Division I basketball player, for you to be shooting, what, 48% from the free throw line?
Yep.
That is unacceptable. We're not in these close games if he's making his free throws. That is so bad to me.
We have a court here at MS in the basement. I think if Aaron needs a place to practice,
Brendan,
call us up.
All three could go down there and shoot free throws, and we would shoot a higher percentage than Aaron Thompson.
I can honestly shoot granny style, higher percentage than Aaron Thompson is right now in games. Guaranteed.
You should adopt the Rick Barry strategy.
Adopt the Ennis strategy, okay?
He's on the Kyle Marshall strategy right now.
No, because Kyle Marshall regressed, okay? It needs to be the Roosevelt Jones strategy, where he progressively got better. But his form isn't even broken either. But that goes back to my thing of who needs to step up. for Butler to be successful? It's Aaron Thompson. We saw him have these flashes where he went for 16 points and like 6 assists. And the next game, he disappears completely. He's playing good defense, but he needs to be that slasher and attacking the basket that we saw before. That's when he's at his best. That's when people were coming out of the woodwork saying, he's already better offensively than Ron Norrin. I said, shut your mouth and sit down, because that's ridiculous.
He almost looks scared out there in the court sometimes. You'll see him drive to the basket and all of a sudden loop it right back out. It's like he's afraid to take it to the hoop sometimes, or even just take his own shot.
And unfortunately, it's not going to get easier. You have a couple gimme games, Morehead State, Western Illinois, but your first game in the Big East is Georgetown, then Villanova, then Xavier.
All right, last thing we got to talk about, suggestions from Twitter. The main thing I asked for comments, the main thing was, why aren't we seeing more Joey Brunk? The Butler fans want Joey Brunk. Tomich, is it a good idea?
I think right now in some of those pick-and-choose games, LaValle's been doing a pretty good job of putting him in where he needs to be. But besides that, I do not want to see a lot of Joey Brunk this early on. I want to give him a little bit of time to get better against those Portland State games or certain times when Tyler Wideman hits that foul trouble. But besides that, I do not think he's ready at this moment.
He has 11 rebounds in 23 minutes this year. He's done absolutely nothing to make me think that he should be on the floor.
Hey, 11 rebounds in 23 minutes is pretty good. I mean, he's averaging like...
He's the 7-footer.
He's averaging 2.2 rebounds in 4.6 minutes per game. I got a friend. I'll give a shout out to him, Brian Weiss, who texted me that, quote unquote, Joey Brunk is the best rebounders Butler's had in a decade.
What?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Did
you watch any of Cam Woods play? He led the Big East in rebounding. What?
Yeah, I didn't
Andrew
agree with
Smith?
That. Listen, I'm not condoning the statement. I'm saying
Matt
this.
Howard?
I think Brunk is a good rebounder. I just think he is so lost out there and his mind is moving so fast that he can't pick up on the game. He's got to slow it down. I love me some Joey Brunk. I love me some local kids playing for Butler. But again, Butler fans, Nate Fowler already struggles defensively when Tyler Wideman comes out. There's a reason Joey Brunk is behind him, is because his defense is even worse.
Yeah, you said he needs to slow it down a little bit. I think his feet need to speed up a little bit, and maybe his mind needs to slow it down. He just kind of sluggish on the floor with his feet moving around, sliding over for a help side defense. It's just not there yet. I'm hoping that we could coach him up a little bit, and he can find his role in the Big East. But besides those few choice minutes, it's not looking good for him.
And, you know, talking for Joey's behalf, as much as I haven't been impressed, I can't imagine what he's gone through this past year.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is. I can't even think about it. So you got that. I mean, I support the kid 100%, but right now I think it's Nate number two.
Absolutely. All right, boys. Next week we got St. Louis. We will see you then.
Will Jordair Jep be there?
He challenged me to a fight that one time, but that's a story.
He's still got the dreads
for a different week. Boys, I sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.